What's the matter? You can't sleep. I'm sorry. Now I know. I know you've been stressed out. Stress and negativity. But I'll do my best. 'Cause I love you. You heard me. I love you. My little girl. Wonderfully hypnotizing my voice is. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Good. Yeah, you can place your hand there. I like your little hands on my thigh. Okay. Shh. Shh. There once was a merchant that had three daughters, and he loved them better than himself. Now, it had happened that he had to go on a long journey to buy some goods. And when he was just starting, he said to them, "What shall I bring you back, my dear?" And the eldest daughter asked to have a necklace. And the second daughter wished to have a gold chain. But the youngest daughter said, "Bring back yourself, Papa. And that is what I want the most." "Nonsense, child," said her father. "Must say something that I may remember to bring back for you." "So," she said, "then bring me back a rose, father." Well, the merchant went on his journey and did his business and bought a pearl necklace for his eldest daughter and a gold chain for his second daughter. But he knew it was no use getting a rose for the youngest daughter while he was yet so far away, because it would fade before he got home. So he made up his mind he would get a rose for her day, or for her the day he got near his house. When all his merchanting was done, he rode off and forgot about the rose till he was near his house. Then he suddenly remembered what he has promised his youngest daughter, and looked about to see if he could find a rose. Well, near where he had stopped, he saw a great garden, and getting off his horse, he wandered about in it till he found a lovely rose bush. And he plucked the most beautiful rose he could see on it. At that moment, he heard a crash like thunder, and looking around, he saw a huge monster, two tusks in each mouth, and fiery eyes surrounded by bristles, and horns coming out of its head and spreading over its back. "Mortal," said the beast, "who told thee thou mightest pluck my roses?" "Please, sir," said the merchant in fear and terror of his life, "I promised my daughter to bring her home a rose and forgot about it till the last moment. And then I saw your beautiful garden and thought you would not miss a single rose, or else I would have asked for your permission." "Thieving is thieving," said the beast. "Whether it be a rose or a diamond, thy life is forfeit." The merchant fell on his knees and begged for his life for the sake of his three daughters, who had none but him to support them. "Well, mortal, well," said the beast, "I grant thy life on one condition. 7 days from now, thou must bring this youngest daughter of thine, for whose sake thou hast broken into my garden, and leave her here in thy stead. Otherwise, swear that thou wilt return and place thyself at my disposal." So the merchant swore, and taking his rose, mounted his horse and rode home. As soon as he got in his house, his daughters came rushing around him, clapping their hands and showing their joy in every way. "I love you." And soon he gave the necklace to his eldest daughter, the chain to his second daughter, and then he gave the rose to his youngest. And as he gave it, she sighed, "Oh, thank you, daughter." Oh, he sighed, "Oh, thank you, daughter." They all cried, but the youngest said, "Why did you sigh so deeply when you gave me the rose?" "Later on, I will tell you," said the merchant. So, for several days, they lived happily together, though the merchant wandered about gloomy and sad, and nothing his daughters could do would cheer him up, till at least he took his youngest daughter aside and said to her, "Bella, do you love your father?" "Well, of course I do, father, of course I do." "Well, now you have a chance of showing it." And then he told her of all that had occurred with the beast when he got the rose for her. Bella was very sad, as you can well think. And then she said, "Oh, father, it was all on account of me. So you fell into the power of this beast. So I will go with you to him. Perhaps he will do me no harm. But even if he does better harm to me than evil to my dear father." So the next day the merchant took Bella behind him on his horse, so was the custom in those days, and rode off to the dwelling of the beast. And when he got there, they alighted from his horse. The doors of the house opened. And what do you think they saw there? Nothing. So they went up the stairs and went through the hall and headed to the dining room. And it was... And there they saw a table spread with all manner of beautiful glasses and plates and dishes and napery with plenty to eat upon it. So they waited and waited, thinking that the owner of the house would appear, till the last merchant said, "Let's sit down and see what happens then." And when they sat down, invisible hands passed them things to eat and to drink, and they ate and drank to their heart's content. And when they rose from the table, it arose too and disappeared through the door as if it were being carried by invisible servants. Suddenly there appeared before them the beast, who said to the merchant, "Is this thy youngest daughter?" And when he had said that it was, he said, "Is she willing to stop here with me?" And then he looked at Bella, who said in a trembling voice, "Yes. We shall know, well, no harm shall befall thee." With that he led the merchant down to his horse and told him he might come that day week to visit his daughter. When the beast returned to Bella and said to her, "This house with all therein is thine, if thou desirest, I'll clap thine hands and say the word, and it shall be brought unto thee." And with that he made a short bow and went away. So Bella lived in the home with the beast and was waited on by invisible servants, who had whatever she liked to eat and to drink. But she soon got tired of the solitude, and the next day when the beast came to her, though he looked so terrible, she had been so well treated, and then she lost a great deal of her horror of him. So they spoke together about the garden and about the house and about her father's business and about all manner of things. So Bella lost altogether her fear of the beast. Shortly afterwards, her father came to see her and found her quite happy. And he felt much less dread of her fate as the hands of the beast, or at the hands of the beast. So it went on for many days, Bella seeing and talking to the beast every day, till she got quite to like him, until one day the beast did not come at his usual time, just after the midday meal. And Bella quite missed him. So she wandered about the garden trying to find him, calling out his name, but received no reply. At last she came to the rose bush from which her father had plucked the rose. And there under it, what do you think she saw? There was the beast, lying huddled up, without any life or motion. Then Bella was sorry indeed. And she remembered all the kindness the beast had shown her. And she threw herself down by it and said, "Oh, beast, beast, why did you die? I was getting to love you so much." No sooner had she said this than the hide of the beast split in two, and out came the most handsome young prince, who told her that she had been enchanted by a magician. He could not recover his natural form unless a maiden should, of her own accord, declare that she loved him. Thereupon the prince sent for the merchant and his daughters, and he was married to Belle. And they lived happily together ever afterwards. Just kidding.